So thank you very much for coming. If you read the title, probably most of the people think, yeah, what's he going to talk about? Like, it's a little bit cryptic. So let's get a little small of history. I'm from Belgium. So if you like beer and chocolates, I'm the guy. All right. So I work at a bank. And when we started out, deciding what application tools are we going to use for our customers to use our banking, mobile banking app, we said, why don't we go with Xamarin Forms? It was at the time that 1.5 I just released. It was at 1.3, 1.5. And it was XAML-based. And we are a large IT crowd that's already familiar with WPF and UWP. So it seemed like a good choice, all right? But like most of the Xamarin Forms developers, when you start out, you get hit by a few of those UI things that's annoying, right? Like, you want to create an application. So if you've seen David's talk, like, we wanted consistency. We are a brand, so we're a bank. So Android and iOS, sorry, it has to look the same, all right? And it has to look the same, feel, use, like we want to do. Not like the OS wanted to do it, but like we wanted to do it. So if you're in that situation, and most of the developers are, then you gonna get hit by those four most common problems. Like, you want to have a uniform title. Like, normally on Android it's left aligned, and on iOS it's in the middle. That's one of the first things that you hit. Maybe you want to have two lines for a title, or even three lines, or if you want to have an image, stuff like that. So when we started with this, there was no title view for Xamarin. So we wanted to do, you needed to create custom renderers. So. But we wanted to get rid of that. Same thing about the toolbar items. Yeah, all right, you want to have left toolbar items, right toolbar items, two toolbar items, three, dynamically change them. At that time, custom renderers. All right, and even so, very difficult to do. Android at the time came, at a certain time came out with the materials, with the fab button, so like an action, floating action button. Of course, we wanted to have that too. Of course, also on iOS. So. Most people will use some kind of NuGet or do a custom renderer. Same thing for the pop-ups, all right? And we wanted to avoid everything, because if you want to do custom renderers, if there's a new OS update or anything that, could be you need to do things again, stuff like that. So we want to avoid this, and that's what we're going to do, all right? So that's the only slide of today. The rest is all of code. It's a developer conference, right? So we want to see code. So I'm just going to create a small application and tackle those problems. And it's all on GitHub, so you have a boilerplate empty app that you can use. And if you want to, you can use the same techniques that we did for our company application. I've been doing this talk for a few years now, almost 2 years. And Steven Thewissen is a Dutch guy. Maybe a lot of people know him because he creates of those kick-ass UI samples. And he, when I first gave the talk, he was in the audience, and it was overwhelmed a little bit by it, like saying, hey, man, that's good. And just recently, I think a week ago, he published a banking app, a kick-ass banking app, by using the same techniques like I presented. So it goes to show that it's useful for everyone, all right? With that said, code. OK. So what did I do? I created a GitHub repository. OK, sorry for this. I can't zoom in Fork somehow. I don't know why. But it's a little bit small, but we'll go through the steps. This is on GitHub. There's also a GitHub repository for the Xamarin Dev Day Summit. So if you just go on GitHub and type in Xam Dev Summit, you'll hit this one. And I did a pull request. It's already in there, all right? And what did I do? To tackle each UI problem, I added a step in the commits. So you just have to check out the commit, and you can gracefully go along, all right? And that's what we're going to do. So like I said, I'm going to show you a code, but I'm not going to type, OK? So I already did the typing at home. I'm just going to check out and just go with the flow. All right. Hop. Let's see Visual Studio. Let's close this. Close the solution. All right. First things first, we need to set up Prism. Who's using Prism? A lot of people? All right. Just walk through the setup very quickly. So if you're at home, just clone the repo, do a checkout, commit, and then you're at that point. So the code is all gone. Only that code is available. And at that point, you can just say, reopen the solution. So Prism is a nice MVVM framework. You don't have to use it. There are others, all right? So this first step, you can put in what you want. Like at a bank where I work in Belgium, we're even not using one of the frameworks. We have our own. So it depends on what you want to do. So this is not a requirement, but I like Prism. I want to promote it. Dan is the host, so. Okay, one of the first things that you need to do is you have to change your app.xaml into a Prism application. Yeah, of course, the first thing you really need to do is add a NuGet, all right? Prism, it's very small. It's Prism Unity Forms that I'm using. If you add that one, you're good to go, all right? So like I said, you change the app.xaml to a Prism application, and in the app.cs, you also have the Prism application and do some setup, all right? So why do I like Prism? One of the things is that because you have a navigation service, so if you're using view models, then it's very nice to have your navigation inside of your view models and not in your view, so I like that. And the way that they did it with the URL navigation, I like it very good because then you can pass in query parameters to pass data through view models, so that's very nice. And we're using an IOC container to register types, okay? So if you're on Xamarin Forms, you need to register the navigation page too because otherwise the navigation won't work. And what I did, I deliberately set the page to a view model, right? If you're familiar with Prism, you actually don't need to do this. If you use the auto wire, then it will search for the by naming convention to the view model. But I still like to see what I did, so I still like to use the two, right? So that's it. That's Prism. So let's see if the application actually works. I think it still does. So all the rest is just the file new Xamarin Forms application. So there is only one main page with welcome to Xamarin Forms. So let's see. All right, we're good to go. Okay. Second thing, we're going to add a master detail page. Why? Because at a certain point in the setup for our application, we want to have it, all right? Could be you don't want to have it, so also this step is not a requirement, but most applications that I see have a menu, so why not? So let's do this. Like you see, I've already added the hot reloading extension, so I hope you guys are getting the URL also soon. So it was amazing. All right, now we already added some stuff, okay? I didn't check out, all right. If I'm doing something wrong, please interrupt, all right? Now I did, so now it's gonna reload again. Yeah, all right, reload. Okay, what did we do now? So in our case, we now have a master detail page, okay? Because the master detail needs to be the first page in your application if you want to use that. I find that the easiest, so just have it there. Yeah, that happens if you run Visual Studio Preview, then it crashes all over the place. If you do Git checkouts behind the scenes, I have to just reload the application again. So the master detail page, we want to have it available, but it could be that at a certain point in the application, you want to hide it again, all right? So we'll tackle that later on. But for now, it's going to be visible, and it's going to be our first, just a first page, all right? Nothing special, it's still the same master detail thing that Xamarin Forms provide us. I only provide a menu page, and the main page will be the content of the right-hand side of the master detail, so it will be the detail. Of course, if you're using Prism, you now have to change the navigation and tell it to use the master detail page, and here I say that the main page will be the first content of that master detail page, all right? Other than that, I don't think there's any code in the master detail itself. I wired up a view model, but we're not going to use it here. Could be that you need to use it in your application, so I already provided it, but for the demo purpose, we won't need it. There's also a view model base. Why do I like this? Also because of Prism. Then I can pass in the navigation service for each view model already through IOC constructor loading. And then you have also the nice unnavigated from, unnavigated to, and stuff. If you want to hook up anything, you can do that there. All right. So each view model that I will be creating will use this view model base. Other than that, I think we're good to go to see if the application is, again, still working. So still nothing too fancy, just boilerplate code to set up your application. All right, I also added a dummy title so that I know where to hit to open the menu. Of course, it also has drag and drag to enable it. So just custom Xamarin Forms. And now we're gonna get to the nice part. Close the solution again. All right. Step three is the most important step of everything. So if you pay attention enough for this demo, this one is the most important one, okay? You can forget all the rest, but don't forget this one. That's the most important one. So what we find out was that if we want to fix any of the UI problems, it's best that we do our UI ourselves, okay? What does that mean? We don't want to rely on custom renderers, or at least not as much as in the beginning. So we're just going to try to do everything in XAML. But if you want to do everything in XAML, that means that you have to start with an empty page. So not what Xamarin Forms actually gives you. So we're gonna add a base page that's empty, and we're just gonna add things that we want to use, like a title or anything else, and we're just gonna use XAML. So we have totally self-control on how our app will look and feel, okay? So how do you add this base page? Because that's the most important thing, right? All right, let's go see. The principle of base page is not well known, I think. All examples I see online or on GitHub and anything don't use this thing. Certainly see that some people use templated controls and put them in several pages, but we somehow felt that base page was more like the way to go for our scenario. But like I said, maybe it's not for you, but for us it was very good to go. So the base page itself is just a content page. And no, in the beginning, there's nothing in the content, and we're just gonna put puzzles on top of this page that we can reuse for several pages, right? So the first thing that we'll see is that we create a grid, and that's actually already one of the solutions for the custom toolbars and the custom title. So the two problems we faced in the beginning is that we just put in a grid and define columns. What you want with those columns can be dynamic. It's XAML, so you can just use data binding if you want to. For the demo purposes, it's fixed, so I have 50 pixels on the left, 50 pixels on the right, and I have a dynamic middle, all right? And what they already provided is a title label, all right? And each time you're using a new page and you're using XAML and you set the title, of course, we want to have that title again represented in our page. So you have to have a place available for that. And this is the tricky part. All the rest will be placed inside a new grid. And that's the third block on your page. So we have the title with the two columns, and then underneath it, you want to have the other content that you will still need to provide for the other pages, and it will be in the base content grid. So how does this work? Now in the code behind, you need to provide some bindable properties. And if you create those, then you can use those in other XAML pages to hook up content as you want. So I already provided this. First thing is the base page title property. Why? Because we want to create new pages, set the title in our XAML, and it needs to hook up to this bindable property so the title will be visible again. And the other thing that's very important is we set, so we use that base content grid that we added to our base page. And we'll say, all right, the children's list, we'll make that available as a property. So we can also use that to put content in, all right? So all the other pages will use this to add content. Like I said, this is the most important part of the talk, all right? If you get this, actually all the rest is just common sense, but this is very important. Of course, could be if you're doing dynamic data binding, You also need to look if the page title ever changes during runtime of your application. You need to set the title again. And another thing that we didn't want to see is the menu. Okay, so we did add a master detail page, but we don't want Xamarin doing anything. So we hide the navigation bar that's already available, and we will tell the application when we want to show the menu or not. All right. So we get rid of the navigation on top because we're doing our own navigation title, and we'll toggle the menu if needed ourselves. So the end result will be this. I walk through the other page straight away. Just going to show you the result already. So what do you see? And what's already important, the difference now is this page is our base page together with our main page. And the base element is now the top element here. That's the title that we set in XAML. Right? But nothing's in there for the moment. And the hamburger menu, the dummy title was in the beginning, is gone. All right? But it's still a master detail page, so the gesture is still there. We didn't hook up anything for the moment. All right? So we're going to do that in the next step. Let's see how the master page is set up, the main page, sorry, set up. So the change I needed to make in the regular main page is now that I have to tell Xamarin to use my base page. All right? And if you then use this little thing, base page content, that's the property I linked up to the grid.children. All right? So anything of XAML that you put in will be placed in the grid that's available in the base page, and that's your content of the rest of the page. All right. Like I said, I didn't put a title in here, so you don't see a title yet. All right. So if you have any questions or anything, or thinking like, Glenn, you're stupid, you're not saying something correctly, just interrupt, all right? So, but try to follow along on what we thought was a good idea to make applications. All right. Check out the following commit. This is a special one, but I wanted to add it. Here we go down. Yeah, question, Dan? Oh, isn't it readable enough? So the next thing, maybe you didn't notice it, but the title was on iOS, at least it is. Let's show you again. So where the clock is and the battery status and stuff like that, so the title was underneath it, all right? So on iOS, normally what you would do, in XAML, you add padding or margin to drop down your page, like here, like I said. And also, there's a label called menu here, and now it's hidden, okay? So that's not good. I wanted to show you this little neat trick, because most of the examples you see online, you will see that they add, depending on which device it is, an iOS X or another iOS device, they'll use a special margin. But actually, you don't have to use it. There is a way to query what the actual size of the top bar is, so you don't have to worry anymore if a new device comes out. So I'm just going to show you how we did it. But to have this, you actually need to go to the platform level. So that's the only thing we did to go to the platform level. So let's see. Did I check it out? Yeah, I checked it out. So we added an interface for this thing, an iDevice interface. And I added a property status bar height. All right. So it's just an interface. And thanks to Xamarin Forms, we can now, on the platform level, have an implementation for that interface. Okay, so I say assembly dependency type of device info, and now I just have to implement it. And this is a neat trick. On UI application on iOS, you can always query what's the status bar frame size. And if you do that, it will work for every device. So if it's an X or a 5 or a 6, it doesn't matter, your height will be correct. Of course, the only thing you now need to do is use that in your base page XAML, so to add that. So if you look now at the base page XAML, you will see that we now added an extra row. I think we added an extra row. Yeah, we did. Yep. Status row definition height. Let's see again, where did I set it up? I think I'm missing something. Yeah. Oh, my XAML is not correct. Let's see this again. No, it's here. So I did a checkout. Like I said, sometimes Visual Studio is not happy by doing checkouts underneath when it's still open, so I have to close it and load it again. All right, let's see. All right, what am I missing? Close all files. We are using it, so it needs to be there. No, it's not showing up, but you can see it in the commit. So there should have been three rows, like here it is. So the 40% height, the star percent, and there should be a status row, definition row. I'm not quite sure why it's not showing now in my page, but it should be there. And in the code behind, what we do is, as soon as we initialize our base page, we query that iDevice info. On Android, it will return 0 because we don't need it. But on iOS, it will now return the correct height needed to drop down the base page. Okay? I don't think I did anything else in this. No, we also use it in the menu page. Of course, that's also needed. See? Because the menu page is the only page we didn't derive from the base page. But we also need to have that extra row in there to fix it. So let's see if the height will be okay this time. It's building, I'm waiting for the debugger. There's something funky with the application, it seems. Still busy? Still building? XPC connection interrupted. Doesn't seem right. All right, we'll see if we can pick it up again with the next commit. All right. The only thing I added for this commit was just having the height through an interface and how you could use that on the base page. So let's grab the other one. So now we have our top elements available. And you now look at your designer. And you look what he designed. And if you have a fancy designer, you can have several things. Like in the top bar, he wants to have three command toolbar items at the right. And at the left, if you press the hamburger item, it needs to spin first and rotate or do something fancy, go out, go in, you know. And you're like, damn, man, I need to do that in a custom renderer. It's like, no, not anymore. You're in XAML. If you're a good XAML developer, you know you can do any animation you want, anything you like. Only thing that I'm not going to show you is that if you want to have those neat, nifty icons, what most people would do, they will use images, all right? PNGs or anything like that. But if you use images, you have to create several of them for the whole resolutions. So what we did, we just used a font for that, all right? So I'm going to explain to you how you can use that and how you can leverage that font to have that nice toolbar elements. Okay, did I check it out? Yep, I checked it out. All right, let's see. File, recent solutions. There we go. So adding custom fonts. Again, I'll explain to you how you can do that. It's not that difficult, but if you were in the keynote today, you have seen Matthew speak and talk about mFractor. It's completely built in. So if you use mFractor, there's a pop-up menu. You just select a font, and it will do all the boilerplate for you. But if you're like us at the bank, we can't use any external toolings for the moment yet. So we had to do this our own. So I'll explain to you how you can do that. So if you want to have custom fonts available in your application, on iOS, it needs to be in the Resources tab. Here's our font. But, and you can't, that's the most important, don't forget to also add it in the info playlist. There's a certain key. I'll show you in a commit because that's easier to show you, although it's small. But in a commit, there's a tag called UI app fonts. It won't be there when you start up your application in the beginning, so you need to add it, but the key is UI app fonts, and that's what mFractor does for you, of course. And there's a string where you need to put in the WTTF. All right? Yeah, I want to try, but it's not possible in Fork. So let me see if I can open up in Visual Studio Code. File and Finder, and then we can see it. Is it Command or Control? Command. Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. I'm learning, all right? To be honest, I'm a Windows guy. I like doing my Xamarin development on a Mac, though. So, all right, so the tag is UI app fonts. Just type it in. And you can pass in an array of different fonts you want to have. In our case, we just add one. Material Design Web Font.ttf. So Material Design Web Font, where does it come from? So now I need to go back, right? Okay, cool. There's a website called materialdesignicons.com. It's open source, it's community driven, and what did the guys do? They just created, so I'm gonna scroll. They just created fonts, icons for I don't know what, all right? So. It's amazing. It doesn't stop. And the good thing is, if it still isn't there, it's a GitHub repo. You just log an issue, and certainly the next day some designer will add it. All right. So I like this a lot. The only thing is, okay, these are open, so if you use them, other people can use them also. So if you want to have a unique brand for your application, what you could still do is, excuse me, if you have a designer and it draws the SVGs, so the vectors, there's a cool tool called Glyphter. You can add the SVGs, and it will create a font for you. And then you can use that font instead of adding the SVGs. So you don't have to worry about how do I draw SVGs and how do I scale them or anything like that. Just paste them in here, and you'll get a font available. All right? Now, if you did download this font, you have a TTF, of course. And then you need to know the glyph for each icon, right? And that's hard to know which one it is. If you press it, it will give you the information somewhere. You can think view the XAML or something. So here's the data path and everything, but that's hard, all right? So another guy wrote a website. Andre did. So okay, let's see. Ooh. It's also on GitHub. Everything's open source these days, that's nice, right? It's on GitHub, it's called Icon Font to Code. And it's a very simple site. You just browse to your TTF file, TrueType font file. You upload it, and what you get is a class file having all constant strings of all the icons that are available in your application. So that's what I did. And if you add that file to your application, let's see, where did I add it? Here it is. And then you'll have a string representation of each icon. And that you can use in your application, all right? So because there are a lot of icons in the TrueType font, this file is, of course, also very long, all right? But you just copy-paste it, and if you're not too keen on having everything inside here, you just delete what you don't use, or you just add all the ones you want, and then you can use them. Because of the fact there are constant strings, they're public, and they are inside the static class, I now can also use them in my XAML, and that's the real power here, all right? So let's see. So I already explained how you need to add the TrueType font. So now, how do you use it? First thing, in your app.xaml, you create an on-platform tag. So depending on which device you're running on, you need to do something special. On iOS, you just give it a regular name, and on Android, you have to give it the real file name with the, how it's called, pound? No, the hashtag, yeah, hashtag. And then their real name, okay? So like I said, if you're using mFractor, you don't have to do this. It will do it for you, but I'm just explaining you how you can do it yourself. And if that is available, you give it a key, then you can use it in your XAML, all right? And I already prepared a style for a button because I want to have a button on my pages representing an icon so I can tap on it and interact with it. So I declared a material button, and I'm already using this font family, material font family, and that's the key of this on-platform tag, all right? So depending on which platform, it will use the correct setting. The only thing that you now need to do is use this style and use the correct constant string to have any, any icon visible. So in the base page, like I said, we still have the master detail. So what do we want? At the left-hand side, a hamburger icon, all right? So how do we do this? We have those two columns. So in the left-hand column, we can now, this is annoying. It doesn't want to reload my base page. See, there needs to be an extra button. All right. No, I didn't do this time. I closed it, right? So, no, but that's annoying. So let's see if I can I get rid of Visual Studio for the moment? All right. Let's see, revert commit. No, not revert commits. That's normally checkout commit. Checkout. Maybe I can delete the files on disk and then check it out again. See if that works. Repository exam David. So where's the base? Ah, that's why they're not showing up anymore. Okay. Let's go further, see what it does now. They're on disk, but they're grayed out. Right. Let's see what it does now. Okay, I never had this problem before, so that's annoying. And I rehearsed the talk during lunch, so that's weird. Come on, Visual Studio. Oh, there we go. We have everything. Okay, but this is the end version already, but I'll just go through the, don't do the commit steps anymore, but I'll explain what I added or I changed, all right? So again, we have the master detail. There was no icon showing, and we want to have an icon. And like I said, if you have a designer and it wants to have it at any certain place on your page, you can now do it because it's just XAML. So I just create a button. I use the style that I created in my app.xaml because it needs to have the link to that TrueType font. And here's the magic. I'll just use that icon font class, that's that static class, and just point it to dot menu. And now you need to know, of course, the name, dot menu, but on the site you can all see the names. So, and the neat thing is on the site you can also search. So if I press menu, then you'll see we have different icons representing possible menu, and it was this one that we needed, and then it's that name above Google that says what's the real name that you can use, right? So we wanted to have the hamburger. All right, now you have it. So that's it. And because of the fact it's a button, we can now interact with it, but we're still using Prism, so I hook up a command, all right? In this case, it needs to be the hamburger command, all right? So in our base view model, we now should have a hamburger command, here it is. And what I did was just also to show you that's possible, I just launched an event saying, oh, somebody pressed a hamburger menu icon, because if you want to have several, I don't know, or dynamically placed, you can now use that, this event, just publish it. And of course, the base page itself should register for that event. Up, 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 here it is. Subscribe to it, and when that's fired, somebody pressed that icon, I'm just gonna tell the master detail page, that's the Xamarin Forms master detail page, to present the menu, and that's it. So if you tap it now, the menu will slide open again. Of course, the gesture movement is still available, all right? So let's see. All right, this is already the final version, but don't matter, we're just gonna highlight what we added for the moment. All right, look at that. We now have a nice hamburger icon. All right, I use this icon. You can use anything what you want. Like I said, you can always create your own tool type font if you need it. You can put it anywhere now where you want, and I just put it at the left-hand side. If I press it, the menu goes open, because I now tell the master detail page to present the menu. And if I press it again, it will close it. And the nice thing is, do you see it? Because it's a button, it will also have the press gestures and also the nice gradients and everything like that. So if you're using an image and you want to do that, that's more difficult, right? Okay, so that's that. Let's see what's next. That was the custom menu. All right, now we want to have more pages in our application, all right? So we only had the main page, so we want to have more. So if we want to have this, we need to create several page types, because of course we need to know when do we need to have an hamburger icon or we want to have something else. If you go to another page, we want to have a back arrow to say, oh, I want to go back. If you open a modal, we have to have a crossed saying, no, I want to have a close. So we create now several page types, and depending on that page type, we will redraw the title and just use other icons, all right? So what did we do? We created an enumerator, page mode. You can add as many as you want. The ones in the boilerplate are menu, navigate, modal, and none. None meaning if I don't know yet what I want to use. So menu is when I want to have the menu icon, navigate if I want the back, and modal if I want to have a cross, all right? To enable this, we also need to have a bindable property using that page mode. So we have a page mode property now. And why a bindable property? Because I want to set that in my XAML and not in code behind or anything else. I want to have this in XAML. So as soon as this page mode property changes, because we set something, hop, what are we going to do? Very convenient, you just toggle visibilities, all right? Just so you know, for the boilerplate, this is okay. If you have an application with a lot of UI, maybe it's better to, at this point, inject buttons. So now we have a lot of elements on our main page already, and we toggle visibility, but the performance will go down. So depending on your application, if you have a lot of UI elements, it's maybe better to create the buttons in code and then inject them in the grid, all right, instead of toggling visibility. Depending on, for our banking app, we didn't see any real performance degradations on having the visibility. So depends on your scenario. So of course, if you want to have several button types, you just provide them. The only thing I changed is I'm just going to use another icon, and that's it. All right. So I have, with that available, if I now run the application, did I press it? Yes, I pressed it. So I'm just going to show you the example also. For the main page now, because of every new page still inherits of the base page, we now have a page mode. Like I said, created the bindable property, so now you have a page mode property for each page. So for the main page, we set it to menu, and for the other page, the non-modal page, we set it to navigate. And that's it, that's the trick. And as soon as the page loads, it will pick up the binding thing, we'll use the correct enumeration and toggle the visibility of the correct icon. Meaning, if I now navigate to the non-modal, ta-da, we now have our nice back arrow instead of our hamburger menu. And I already added the modal subpage also. Ta-da, and that fixes the multi-line stuff, you see? Because it's just XAML. If you put in a long text, it will just grow as long as you need it. And if you want to stop it, just set word wrap and line length to 2, and then it's done. And I have a cross, so. The only thing, of course, you still need to wire up those events. So let me show you those events. So if you tap the base page, sorry. So if you tap the navigate back, we have a navigate back command. And if you tap the close, we have a close command. So the navigate back command, we're going to use just Prism. Just tell the navigation servers to go back, and everything is all handled for you. And the only thing is, the difference between a close and a navigate back is that you need to tell Prism that it has to be modal or not. So use modal navigation. You just toggle it to true or false. And how do you do that? You just query if you're on a page that is set as modal or not. And that's all that you need to do, all right? So if it's not a modal page, you're going to use the non-modal navigation, and otherwise it will be the modal navigation. So that's a neat trick for Prism that you can use to say if it needs to be modal or not. Did I do anything else in the pages? No, it's just clean setup, all right? So that was the modal and the non-modal. Now, the fab button, how do you do that? Actually, quite easy. So that's the only thing that we create as a control. Of semi-control. So what did I do? I created a control called fab button, and I just put it on my XAML where I want to have it. So do you want to have it at the top left, on the bottom left, the bottom right, and doesn't matter. It just in XAML, in a grid, just place it where you want, and also just toggle visibility, that's it. Or, like I said, if you're keen to performance and you have a lot of UI elements, just inject it in the grid if needed, that's all. The control itself is very simple. Let's see where I created it. It's just a grid with a button in it, and the button has rounding, so it's just a circle. But the cool thing is I already used the same icon font here. So if you want to have a fab button to create a new message, it's the crayon, or anything else, chat, it's a chat bubble or anything. I just used the Xamarin logo, so let's see how it goes. So show the fab button, and there it is. If you want to have gradient, do you want to have a shadow or anything, it's just XAML, just do it, all right? You want to have an animation, just do it. Now, the boilerplate example is just simple, but you can do what you want, and you can tap it, and I hooked up already the Prism die page, the alert functionality that you show something. And again, you can hide it, you can show it, you can hide it. What we did was we have a list view, and as soon as you scroll, we hide the fab button, and if you stop scrolling, it gracefully comes up again, so you can add items, and then as soon as you scroll, it fades out again. So you can do anything that you want, fading, animation, doesn't matter. All right, with that, I still have 1 minute. Maybe can go slightly over time. The last thing I wanted to show you was the pop-up service. So again, you just, the thing that you need to do here is create some kind of layer in between to tell to use your service from any page available, all right? So there has to be something that knows that you want to show extra content on top of the grid we are in for the moment. So what I did was created a pop-up service, okay? And it has a public method for the moment. You can add others if you want to. Display pop-up, and you pass in strings or anything what you want, doesn't matter, you can add functionality. And this is the thing I said, what you could do with also all the rest of the controls. Now I'm actually inserting it instead of predefining it on the XAML. I'm now hooking up, looking for the base page grid and just injecting it in the base page grid. And because of XAML, you know, if you declare it at the last, it will be on top, all right? If you declare it in XAML on the bottom, it will be on top visible. So I just grab the grid, grab the children's list, insert the pop-up, and that's it. Now, of course, you need to use it. So find references. Let's see where I use it. Oh. Because it's a service, I can now inject it and set it inside of my main, what is it, the main view model in this case. And I use it to say, hey, pop-up, look, you're on pop-up. You can also, but you don't need to, pass in a command to get results back if you want to. If you want to have a yes, no pop-up or something else, you can get results back or not, or interact with a pop-up if needed. And don't need to start it. I can just tap here. So with that, I'm no designer, so it's just a it's just a grid for the moment, but it has one button. The two other elements is what I passed in through the display pop-up, but you can do anything what you want. And if I press the OK, let me put a breakpoint. Then I had to start it, of course. Then you will see that as soon as you press that OK button, we trigger the command that you pass along, and then you come back into that little thing there. So,
quick question.
Yeah, go ahead. It depends on what you want to do. Yeah, if you hook up a touch event or anything else for the rest of the page, yeah, you can say if there's a pop-up available, close the pop-up and do it. Yeah, it's totally possible. So because of the fact I passed in a command, that command gets triggered as soon as you press that OK button, you're now getting back. And it, like I said, you can use that pop-up results event args class that I already provided and add a yes, no value or anything else if you want to do this. So, all right. And that was actually a good question, because the last thing I just wanted to show you is going to run it on Android. On iOS, this is not a problem, because we don't have another way to go back than a physical button. There is no physical button. On Android, we have a physical go back button. So the only problem with this scenario is that if the pop-up is available and you press the physical back button, because it's just an element on the same page, we'll go navigate away. And that's not what you want. You want to close the pop-up at that moment and don't navigate away. So I'm just going to first show you the bad thing and then fix it, all right? And that will be the last thing. So if it's OK, we just get one extra minute. Come on, Android, you can do this. Everybody said faster build times, right? In the OK, that's good. Deploying to device. I should have done this up front. I'm sorry about this. Almost there. I will already show you the code, just to be sure. So the last thing we did. Oh, there it goes. Come on, guys. So the last thing we did, we overwrite the on back button pressed, and then use that same pop-up service, because we're using IRC. We can inject it again anywhere, so it's in our base page, and then use a public dismiss method. And that dismiss method will check if the pop-up is visible or not. If it's visible, it will just hide it and do nothing else. If it's not visible, we'll trigger the navigate back. And that's how we fix that. So go to implementation, you will see this. So remove pop-up. And remove pop-up will just do the check. So just query the master detail page. Is the pop-up in the grid? Yes, dismiss it. Otherwise, just do the navigation. So show pop-up. So this has the fix, all right, already, because it was the latest one, all right? So instead of now navigating back, it just dismiss the pop-up. One extra thing I forgot to mention is in the base page, we also have a check for the hamburger gesture, because for the other pages, even though we change the icon, that it's a back icon or a close for the models, if I didn't do anything, you could just still open the menu with the navigation on iOS, and we don't want to. So we also check if you're not on a menu page, then disable the hamburger gesture, and that's also just a command from Xamarin Forms. It's just an enabled set to true or false. So if you're not on a menu page, the gesture won't work. All right, and with that, I hope you learned something. Any questions, come afterwards, because I think we have to stop. All right, thank you very much.